We're continuing the performance review series, focusing on the Buffalo Bills' defensive tackles today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Well, folks, we're going to focus on the defensive tackles here on the podcast. Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips, and then an interesting group of players that were signed to futures deals already that I want to talk about. Now, we should probably acknowledge that the Super Bowl is this weekend. It's the Chiefs against the Eagles. Go Birds, right? Go Birds. I think that's probably true on behalf of pretty much everyone listening to this podcast, that we're hoping for a Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl championship on Sunday. Let's talk about these defensive tackles. We'll start with Daquan Jones, who I think was the Bills' most consistent defensive lineman this past year. 2022 free agent signing. He's 31 years old. He turns 32 in December. He's entering year two of his two-year, $14 million contract. And I wonder, is he an extension candidate? Do you want to add an additional year or two to this contract to maybe spread some of the money out, lock in Daquan Jones for additional seasons, and potentially lower his cap hit this year to free up some cap space? You know, I think I'm thinking about all these different possibilities that Brandon Bean has to create space, and this is one that I thought was at least worth mentioning. As far as Daquan Jones in 2022, played in 16 games with 16 starts, was on the field for 61% of the Bills' defensive snaps, collected two sacks, three tackles for loss, and 30 pressures. As far as his review, I thought Daquan Jones was awesome. Like I already said, I thought he was the most consistent defensive lineman on the team last year. And he meant a lot to the defense very quickly. Stabilized the one tech position for the Bills for the first time in a while, and we saw that impact. I don't think there's any coincidence that Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano arguably had their best seasons with Daquan Jones as the one tech. He's an extremely reliable player, and my goodness, was he a big loss against Cincinnati, that playoff game. I'm not sure that the game's all that different. But the way that the Bills got their butts kicked up front on defense against that, you know, that hodgepodge Bengals offensive line with a bunch of backups, you wonder if things would have been a little different if Daquan Jones was in the lineup and Jordan Phillips wasn't trying to play with a torn rotator cuff. And of course, you can continue your speculation and think about the possibility of Von Miller playing in that game. But Jones had a great season. He's been a durable player throughout his career. Something I want to highlight as it relates to Daquan Jones is that since 2015, he started all but four games over that stretch. I mean, this guy's available every single week. Consummate professional. I loved having him this year. And one thing that really stood out to me in a way that I didn't expect to stand out was his pass rushing impact. It certainly exceeded my expectations. 33 pressures, that was a career high for him by a good bit. And so his impact was all around. Run defense, pass rush, improved players around him. He was terrific. As for my 2023 outlook for Daquan Jones, more of the same. More of the same. I know he loves being on the Bills. He's from just outside of Binghamton. And I hope he has a few more years like the one he delivered in 2022. because I really, really enjoyed him, and I'm excited to have him back, so much so that I think he should potentially be an extension candidate, given he's entering the last year of his deal, and maybe that could create some cap flexibility for Buffalo while locking in Daquan for a couple more seasons. Let's move on to Ed Oliver, 2019 first-round pick, number 9 overall. Ed is 25 years old. He turns 26 in December, so I guess this is kind of like his age 25 season. As far as his contract, he is playing on the fifth-year option. So he's on the books for $10.8 million, and that's a firm number. There's no flexibility there. That's kind of the deal with the fifth-year option. It's a fully guaranteed straight-up number. You can't spread it out. It is a clean $10.8 million cap hit. Now, if you really wanted to reduce that number, you'd have to extend him. You'd have to agree to extend him now and spread out some of that money. But do you want to? It's an interesting topic. As far as his statistical production in 2022, Ed Oliver played in 13 games, 13 starts, on the field for 60% of the snaps, 2.5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, and 31 pressures. As far as his review goes, I mean, Ed's now been the Bills' starting 3 technique for 4 seasons. We know who he is. He's a good starting 3 technique. Not an elite player or a consistently dominant player, but a good player. I think it's fair to recognize that he's a good player, but also wish he made more of a consistent impact. We have to remember that he missed some time early in the season, right? He got hurt against the Rams and then missed like the next 3 games. And that is part of this overall gripe that I've had, that we never really saw for an extended amount of time Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones in the middle with Von Miller and Greg Rousseau outside, because I feel like that's a good group. I feel like that's a good starting defensive line. But there was never much in the way of a sustainable stretch of play with all those guys being healthy to really see what the defense could have looked like. As for Ed's 2023 outlook, I'd like to think he can be more impactful, but I think Ed's kind of told us who he is. And on one hand, it's okay, right? But we will always think about him through the lens of him being a top 10 pick with Christian Wilkins and Jeffrey Simmons and Dexter Lawrence as players picked after him in the first round. And so that's always going to skew our perspective of Ed Oliver. And it should. That opportunity cost is worth discussing. And I think it was on Herd Mentality this week, I talked about, you know, maybe something that the Bills overlooked with the evaluation of Ed Oliver is that he's an outlier in terms of size. Short, you know, 285 pounds, sub 32-inch arms, small wingspan. And that was something that they overlooked, because surely they bought into the athleticism and obviously the fit. If you want that full analysis, make sure you go back and listen to this week's Herd Mentality. But it is a contract year for Ed Oliver, and I think that's a theme that you're going to notice here as we talk about this position group. And Ed's a good player, but I think we can all agree that we wish he was a more impactful player and a more consistently dominant player. Valentine's Day is coming up, which means romance is in the air more than usual. I don't need to tell all you lovebirds that. You've probably had your date plans on the calendar for weeks, but have you found the perfect Valentine's Day gift yet? Whether you're celebrating this day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. At BlueNile.com, you can find the perfect piece of jewelry for life's special moments, or even create the custom engagement ring of her dreams. Their simple online tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style, and then Blue Nile's bench jewelers will handcraft the perfect piece to your specifications. Every order is insured and arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shipping is free, and so are returns. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for 50% off. Again, BlueNile.com. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's get into Tim Settle and Jordan Phillips here in this segment. And a couple of players that are pretty interesting here is the depth behind Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver. For Tim Settle, he was a 2022 free agent signing, 25 years old. He turns 26 in July. He's entering year two of a two-year, $9 million contract. And it's worth noting that he can be released for $2.7 million in cap savings, but also that comes with an accumulation of $2.2 million in dead cap space. As far as his statistical production, in 2022, he played in 15 games, had two starts, was on the field for 38% of the defensive snaps, collected one sack, four tackles for loss, and 11 pressures on the quarterback. As far as his review goes, I have written down, I was hopeful for more. A lot of talk about Tim Settle when the Bills signed him that, you know, he just didn't get much opportunity as a depth player in Washington playing behind John Allen and Daron Payne and Matt Ioannidis. And he was really flashy in the opportunities that he got. But for Tim Settle, more opportunity didn't translate to more impact. More opportunity didn't translate to more impact. I think that's a valuable lesson that we've learned coming out of this season, where there were players that did a lot of exciting things in small sample sizes, but when they got more opportunity, it just didn't mean more impact across a bigger sample size. It came with an understanding of some of the limitations that they have. And so I thought Tim Settle this past year was a modest contributor as a run defender and as a pass rusher. So as for his 2023 outlook, I like his energy. I think he's a reasonable defensive tackle four. But in 2022, he was mostly the defensive tackle three and sometimes the defensive tackle two. And so then that begs the question, is a $5 million cap hit ideal for a fourth defensive tackle? That's where I start to question the opportunity cost relative to the impact. And I'm not super confident that he's a whole lot more than what we saw this past season. Although maybe you're hopeful that the calf injury was something that really limited him. Maybe you're hopeful that he'll be better in his second season in Buffalo with more comfort and familiarity in his role. But maybe he's just as good as what we saw last year. We'll see. We will see. Let's get to Jordan Phillips. And again, the first three players that we talked about, Tim Settle, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, they're all entering the last year of their deal as it stands right now. So your 75% of your rotation is in the last year of their deal. And then Jordan Phillips, the other guy as part of this quartet, he's got a contract that's expired. So let's talk about it. Jordan Phillips, a 2022 free agent signing. He's 30 years old, turns 31 in September. He's entering a contract year or an expired contract, excuse me. He completed his 1 year, $5 million deal. In 2022, he played in 12 games, one start, was on the field for 43% of snaps, collected 1.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, and 19 pressures. As far as his 2022 review, I mean, Jordan Phillips came out of the gate hot. He was awesome in that Rams game. But then I don't think beyond that, he did a whole lot in terms of making an impact with any level of consistency beyond that Rams game. Some flashy moments, but I think the snap-to-snap consistency remains concerning. And the injuries for Jordan Phillips are becoming concerning as well. He's entering his age 31 season. And you look back over the last 3 years, and the guy's been banged up. Missed 7 games in 2020. Missed 8 games in 2021. Missed 5 games in 2022 with the hamstring injury and then the shoulder. And he probably should have missed more than 5 games this past year. He was trying to play hurt for a lot of different times throughout the course of the season. And so as for my 2023 outlook as it relates to Jordan Phillips, I'm not entirely sure he's back. Now, I wouldn't mind it. I like Jordan Phillips. I can appreciate the flashes and the energy and what he brings as a depth player. But I wouldn't sign up for 1 year, $5 million again. Not with his age and the last 3 seasons of injuries that he's had. And for him, I think the flashes continue to be better than the snap-to-snap consistency. That's something I said even during Jordan Phillips, what was it, like a 9.5 sack year that he had before he left for Arizona. You love the flashes, but on a snap-to-snap basis, he leaves something to be desired. And so we'll see if he's back. But I think that's one of the really fascinating conversations to have about this position group, which we're going to get into in just a moment. But like I said, you got 3 guys on expiring contracts, and Jordan Phillips is expired. And when you foil that against the futures contracts that they gave out, you start to really get some clues as to the future of this position group. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But first, go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you can do, well, not taxes. You can show your eyes things that are not taxes. Maybe unpack a moving box of not taxes. You can do so many things with your time that is not taxes that are much more enjoyable. And with TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. Feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax, full service products only, video meeting while expert does your taxes required. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. So let's tie a ribbon on this defensive tackle conversation and this, I guess, defensive line in general, now that we've done edge and interior defensive linemen. This is an expensive group, or at least it was last year. 3 veterans, right? 3 veterans that are all on this, at least the second contract of their career, and in some cases the third, in Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, Daquan Jones. And then Ed Oliver, who was on a rookie contract, but we're talking about year 4 of a rookie contract as the number 9 pick. It's a pretty pricey group here. And like I've said a few times already, 3 guys here entering the last year of their deal, and then Jordan Phillips, whose contract is expired. And then it leads me to this group of futures contracts that the Bills signed players to. Cortez Broughton, Eli Ankwu, Brandon Bryant, Kendall Vickers, those are all futures contracts for players that are a little bit older, right? These aren't like just young UDFAs that haven't been around the block. I mean, these are veterans in the NFL. Cortez Broughton, 26 years old. He's been in the league since 2019. Eli Ankwu, 28 years old. He's been on roster since 2017, a fair amount of that time coming with the Bills. Brandon Bryant, 29 years old. He's been on roster since 2019 and really on the Bills since 2020. That's three seasons. Kendall Vickers, 27 years old. He's been bouncing around the league since 2018. And so when I think about three expiring contracts, one expired contract, and I see these futures deals, it looks like the Bills are probably trying to find an answer here in this group. As I consider Brandon Bean's mindset and maybe where he needs to make some, or he thinks he has to make some concessions and balance out the roster and spread some money around, this is a spot where things come to mind. We'll see what happens, because those final year of the deal for Oliver Jones and Settle does create some opportunity for extensions, but do you really want to get to the negotiation table right now with that Oliver? I do with Daquan Jones, but what about Tim Settle? I mean, he's a fourth defensive tackle. It's interesting. It's an interesting group. So what do the Bills have at defensive tackle? Well, they have an aging but rock-solid one tech and Daquan Jones in the last year of his deal. They have a good but not great starter in Ed Oliver, who's in the last year of his deal. Tim Settle, who's, to me, a defensive tackle four in the last year of his deal. And then Jordan Phillips, who's on an expiring contract. What do they need? They need long-term answers here. They need some long-term answers. And because of that, I'm expecting some draft capital to be invested. You need some guys here on rookie deals. You need to get younger and cheaper and better. And so with that in mind, we're probably going to talk about some defensive tackles as we gear up for the draft conversations that we're going to have. We'll get familiar with them, because I think the Bills are going to participate there, and they should. They need to get younger. They need to get cheaper. They need more long-term answers. You can't live in this world where you're just churning through veterans. That becomes expensive, like it was last year. You need some meaningful contributors on rookie deals from this group, especially for guys that, you know, the defensive tackle three and four for the Bills are going to play 30-ish percent of the snaps, right? Probably 30 to 40%. So these guys are going to play. And so I think finding some answers that you can go ahead and get into the mix this year, but are prepared to take bigger roles next year, is important. And I think part of that is why you saw the Bills go out with their futures contract or futures contracts and commit a number of those to veteran defensive tackles. Now, we're not talking about high impact players, right? We're talking about practice squad caliber players, but guys that have been around. I think they're looking for some flexibility here as they consider all of these avenues with the defensive tackle position. So we talked about it yesterday. I know everyone's kind of, I wouldn't say everyone, that's not fair. There's a lot of people that are kind of over the investments with the defensive line. Well, don't say I didn't warn you, because there's still questions. There's long-term questions at defensive tackle and at defensive end. I know that you love having Miller and Rousseau kind of tied together for the next few years, but what do you have after that? Epinesa, Basham, Lawson, right? More questions. So I would anticipate more investments here. And I think they'll come through the draft. I really do. I think they want to get younger and cheaper. And they need to. So that'll be fascinating to watch. And obviously will shape some of our conversations here the rest of the way. So there you have it. That's the Bills defensive tackle situation. And then next week, we'll start getting into linebackers, corners, and safeties. We'll tie a ribbon on this series, have some other creative stuff lined up for next week. Of course, this is our last podcast of the week, so go Birds, right? Like I said at the top of the show, go Birds. I hope that you have a great weekend. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Go Bills, and look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.